Turn to Ruth chapter 1, if you would. I figured you didn't get it this morning, so I'll preach the same thing again. No, I'm just kidding. Same passage, but a different message. Ruth chapter 1, we looked at a human perspective this morning. And when I say human perspective, I'm not looking at a bad perspective. I'm just saying we're looking at the people and how they are involved in what they do, lessons that we can learn of what to do and what not to do. And I trust that we learned some things this morning about Ruth and a response. Kind of an amazing story about how Ruth unconditionally stuck with Naomi. I don't know if you think that, but I do. I think it's very amazing that Ruth continued on the way she did with Naomi, even though Naomi didn't have the praise, didn't have the right perspective that we're going to talk about tonight. And so Ruth is struggling, isn't she? We see a lady that's struggling. And maybe I did that this morning, but I want to be very careful not to blast Ruth away. Naomi. Naomi's very much like us. And sometimes we have difficult things that go on, and it's hard not to be down like Naomi was. Naomi had some discouragement in her life, big discouragement, a husband and two sons, and that's enough probably to stop right there. That's discouragement. That's tough. And we're in you're in a foreign land. And what do I do now? Well, I do think that Naomi made the right choice in going back to her home, place where God was. And so, praise the Lord for the insight that Naomi had. I believe Naomi, even though she blamed God for a number of things, and she looked at herself as empty when she had a lot, really. I praise the Lord that it seems as though Naomi still continues to follow God and not give up on him, even though she felt that he had given up on her. What's the reality, though? Did God give up on Ruth? Or, excuse me, Naomi? Did God give up on Naomi? He did not. In fact, did God have lots of great plans in store for Naomi? Brothers and sisters, may that give you good hope. Difficult times may come, but God has not given up on you, and he has good things in mind. That's enough right there that we could walk away with tonight saying that's a good truth. God has good plans for you. And did God have good plans for Naomi? He did. He's got so much in mind for Naomi. And, you know, in humanly speaking, Naomi thinks there's no way that anything good can come out. My family line is done. Was that the truth? In fact, of all family lines, who would come? Jesus Christ. Wow, isn't that amazing? I want to tell you something. Let that give you hope. God is not done. God is not done. You might be sitting here tonight, and you might feel like things are bleak, and things are black, and things are dark, and things are past, and things are gone. That's the way Naomi felt. She felt like it was time to die. God says, Naomi, well, he doesn't say this, but he had in mind, Naomi, I've got some good things for you to come. It's a godly perspective. Tonight, I want to look at that again. Last week, we asked the question, well, no, why? Why did God allow Elimelech to die? Why did the two sons, why did they die? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And the answer is what? God has a plan. God has a plan. So we looked at that fact last week. I want to look at this perspective here in the same verses as we looked at this morning. We're going to be looking at verses 19 to 22, the end of the chapter, and see. All right, you were probably here this morning, and so you have the perspective. I'm not going to go through all the background. We are looking at bleak times with God's people, and certainly with Naomi and Ruth now, the two. It's tough, it's difficult, and it's going to be tough in the coming days, but God is going to answer, God is going to supply. God is going to provide spiritual difficulties, physical difficulties as well. All right, last week we established that God is planning. God's at work and he's got a plan. But in the middle of all God's planning and performing, we saw this morning, of course, Naomi and her, what I would say, pretty lousy perspective and her attitude. She certainly doesn't see God's perspective. Let's look at verse 20, okay? Ruth chapter 1, and let's look at verse 20. We see that they head back to Bethlehem, verse 20. And she said unto them, call me Naomi. Call me not Naomi, pleasant and sweet, but call me Mara, bitter, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. And as we said, of course, there'll be some things that I say to you tonight that I said this morning. Same story. But she blames her tough situation on God. Now, this is kind of a twisted perspective, but rightly so. Now, I don't know that blame is the right word. But was God at work, as we established last week? He was at work. Was God responsible for what's going on? Yes, God is. And God was doing a good work. And I say, you know, that she says rightly, but just with a wrong emphasis. It was God that had dealt. You know, she says that God hath dealt bitterly. God had dealt with her, but it was not very bitterly. God was doing some good things. The words very bitterly, we looked at just a little bit this morning, but very bitterly means exceedingly provoked in a negative way. Exceedingly provoked. God, you have provoked me negatively, and it's exceeding. You know, if Naomi didn't say this, but it's almost as if she said, I can't take anymore. God, you have put it, and you have, you know, it's rained, but it's poured now. God, you have done enough. I cannot take any more of this. God, you have very bitterly dealt with me. You know, I do think that Naomi understood something. What did Naomi call God? She called him the, look at the verse, the who? The Almighty. You know what? I praise the Lord that Naomi still understood that God was the Almighty. What's the Almighty mean? He's in control, but he's all powerful. He can do anything. You know what? Naomi still recognizes as God, as Jehovah, as the Almighty. Isn't that a blessing? Praise the Lord that she recognized that. She saw that. She realized and she knew that God was real and that God was almighty. That's very good. She got the first part of that right, and we need to get that. We need to understand that God can do anything, like the kids sing. God can do anything but fail. He can do anything. But God was and is at work in Naomi's life. What Naomi missed was that it was good things that God was doing. Naomi looked at it as a negative thing. Folks, understand when negative things happen in life, understand that God works. And we looked at that last week. God is not just working in a negative way, but God is working in a positive way. We looked at Romans last week, and we know that all things work together for what? Good. Is that hard to believe sometimes? Is it? It is. That's a hard verse to believe. You know, when things happen and you look and you say, no. Do you know, I love this about God. God does not always require that we understand and have all of the emotions. Would you agree with me that sometimes the emotions of God's goodness are not there? Sometimes I don't feel God's goodness. You say, Pastor, you don't. I'm just going to be truthful with you. I don't always feel God's goodness. But does that negate God's truth and who he is? Is God still good and is he still there? He is. God is, and it doesn't matter your emotions. And so don't get overthrown if your emotions aren't there. Go back to the truth. Go back to the Word of God and say, I know he is because the Word of God says so. And let that comfort you. And even if you still don't find that comfort, just know it. Just know that God's word is true. God is still there and God is at work no matter what you feel. No matter if you can, you know, feel God's presence. He is there. But Naomi missed that it was good. We know that it's good. You know what? Tomorrow when you wake up and it isn't good and you say it's not good, go back to the truth. And say that, you know what? And we know that all things work together for, and say it. If you got to say it 25 times, if you have to say it 50 times, if you got to say it 150 times, say it and say it again. It works together for good. This is for God's good. This is for God's good. Sean, this is for God's good. This is for God's good. And keep saying it until you can walk on, until you can move on. This is for God's good. This is for God's good. I don't see it, but I've got to trust him that this is for God's good. Naomi was looking at a human perspective. She is looking at this plane right here of her near future. I mean, think of what Naomi's going through. What's coming to her mind? One commentator said, her near future loneliness. You know what? She doesn't have her husband. She doesn't have, you know, she doesn't have her boys. But she's missing that she does have her God, and she does have a daughter-in-law that's going to be faithful. But she's missing that, and maybe she's thinking about her future loneliness. Maybe she's thinking about the emptiness that she's going to have of missing that spouse or missing those boys or missing, it seems like, God's presence. I think that Naomi is feeling like she's, you know, God's hung her out to dry. And she's looking to this in a negative way. She's looking to that loneliness and that emptiness. And in her mind, helplessness. My friends, there's a helper that's sticking closer than a brother. And she and he, if we're right next to her side. And I specifically wanted to mention the he. It's much more than Ruth. God was going to be right there. He's going to use Ruth. But it was going to be God that would be right there. She was under the wrong perspective that she was helpless. Was she helpless? Was she hopeless? No, she had God. And God gave her Ruth as well. You know, in one way, she had a right perspective. God was almighty, and he was still there. He was an all-powerful God, and he was the one that was at work. But in another, she was very wrong. And I'll tell you, when we have a wrong perspective, that means the world, a world of difference. World of difference. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. I'm going to look at a few verses that help us establish a right perspective. Verses that reiterate what we have learned in the book of Romans, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love him and to those who are called according to his purpose. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. And we see something in the next few verses that I want to give you in a couple different places. Deuteronomy 32, 4. He is the rock. What's the next phrase? His work is perfect. Brothers and sisters, his work is perfect. God doesn't make mistakes. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. What's the next five words? Just and right is he. Oh, verses that you ought to memorize. Verses that you ought to know. I know that God is right in doing this. And you need to tell yourself that. You know what? It takes discipline to keep the right perspective, because it's so easy to look on this plane. And we're going to talk about a plane here in just a minute. But it's so easy to look and see what I call as negative. This should not have happened. You know what? This took place. I wasted my money. I lost this, and this broke. And now I've got to get it fixed. And look at what happened physically. If only I wouldn't have. If this would have taken place. And on top of all the rain, and now it's flooding, and now it's pouring. This cannot be good. Brothers and sisters, that is wrong. It can be good, and it is good, because it comes from God, and all things that come from God are good. God does not have any faults. God doesn't have iniquity. A God of truth and without iniquity. Brothers and sisters, what you're going through is not a mistake. Did you catch that? What you're going through is not a mistake. God is right in all he does. Go to Psalm. Psalm 119 and verse 68. Brothers and sisters, you got to get this truth. This is so practical, because in your life there's mistakes. Why did that happen? Oh, my day is ruined, and this is ruined, and now this is never work out. Can you imagine if we understood that all things work together for good? Can you imagine that God's ways are perfect? Can you imagine if we knew every day that he makes no mistakes, there's no iniquity, and this is God's perfect plan? Oh, we've got it. We know it in truth, but we don't remember it through our day. We forget it. Psalm 119, verse 68. What's this verse say? Thou art good. And not just, this is not just part of the time. Thou art good. Did you catch that? Thou art. It's like that word is that I emphasize to you sometimes. You know, I say God is good. It's not just a, honestly, it's not just a characteristic or an attribute. It defines the essence of who he is. He is good. In other words, he's defining good. We're not looking at God and defining good. Well, okay, well, let's look at good. Okay, there he is. No, we're looking at God, and we're saying that right there is how we define the word good. He is. And we see here in this verse, in Psalm 119, verse 68, thou art good. God is good. And so, and what he does, if God is good, what he does is also good. And he says, thou art good and doest good. He doest good. Teach me thy statutes, the psalmist says. Go to Psalm 145 and verse 17. Does God make mistakes sometimes? I really wasn't asking you the question. Thanks for answering, though. What does it say here? The Lord is righteous in all his ways. No, only part of them, right? No. Everything that he does. Now you look at me and I say, yeah, preacher, we already know this. Do you? Do you know it? Do you know it? No. Do you know it like the Greek word in the New Testament that it's an experiential knowledge? I've experienced it. I know God is good in all his ways. Have there been things that have happened to you in the past that you would have said were negative, but now, looking back, you say, God is good. Oh, I could bring up so many that I thought was right, and I thought was good, and I thought that this is the way. And God said no, and I thought, no, this is a mistake. And yet I can tell you today, God is, and he was good in it. And I'm glad that I didn't get my way in it. Have you ever had something like that? Glad you didn't get your way all the time? You know, we fight and we kick and we scream and we want our way, and yet God does something different, and in the end, we look back in hindsight and we see, God was good. So glad God did it that way. Praise the Lord, because, again, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Did you catch that last phrase? He's holy in every one of his works, every one, his holiness. You see, that can't be that this happened this past week to me in my situation. And God says, there's my holiness right there. There's my holiness. I cannot imagine to attribute it, you know, this thing that happened in my life. There's God's holiness. No, Pastor, you're missing it. Read it. His holiness was there. Because what do we know according to James? The teens know it. Verses chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, and so do you. What do we know? What do we know? That the trying of our faith worketh what? Patience. And that patience does what? Works its perfect work that he may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's why what happened this week was holy. It was holy. It was blessed. It was right. Because God was doing it to take you somewhere. To take you to himself. God was taking Ruth somewhere. God was taking Naomi somewhere. Naomi couldn't see it, but it was there. God was there. God was doing something there. Do you think if Naomi could have looked ahead to see what God was doing, she would have changed her perspective? I do. You know, if God would have said, Naomi, now let me stop and let me share with you. Let's sit down for a minute and let's look at this. Let's look at the next page. Oh. And then I'm going to do this. Wow. And wait till you see me turn this page. No way. Boaz? Ruth? David? The Messiah? And folks, it brings tears to my eyes because the things that we go through, we look at it and we shake our head and we say, God, take it away. God, get rid of this. Get rid of this problem. God says, Sean, if you could see the end, you would be thankful. It's a perspective that we need to have. Change your perspective. Look at verse 21. Naomi continues to talk. Do you think that Naomi would change her words after chapter 4? I do. She says, I went out full. The Lord hath brought me home again empty. Let me ask you a question, because you know the end. Was Ruth empty, or was Naomi empty? What was she? She was discouraged, but let me say this. She didn't see it, but she was full. She was full of God's blessing. Brothers and sisters, I would not want to change places with Naomi, but if I could look at the end of the story, I'd love to take her place at the end of the story. I would. Love to know that God was going to use her and use me in his line to accomplish so many great things. Oh, Naomi, cheer up. Get excited. I want to look at two things here from this verse. Two things that I've kind of already shared with you a little bit. I want to illustrate. Number one, an earthly versus a heavenly perspective or plane. And then number two, a faith in an unseen, and I put that in quotes, an unseen God. Because yes, it is true that we cannot see God, but I'll tell you what, you could see God working. We can see God working, but let's look at the right plane first of all. The right plane. As we look at verse 21, the right plane. She says that you sent me out full and I came back empty. What was Naomi looking at here with her full and emptiness? You see, she was looking at what? She was looking at the loss of her husband. She was looking at the loss of her boys. She was looking at the fact that she was in a pagan place now. She's looking at the fact that she has nothing and she's going to go back and the people are going to look at her and where have you been and what's going on? And look, what has happened to you? Is God's curse upon you, Naomi? And I think that that's what she expected. But her thoughts were on all this. It was a plane of earth. It's a perspective that we all have. You know, from the shortest individual in the room tonight, which might be about this size, from here to the tallest individual, you know, that might be up to here. But honestly, we have a few feet. We've got about 3 feet of plane. Do you realize that there's a whole lot more space than 3 feet? But you know what? A lot of times in life, we see about 3 feet of space. Because all of us have a perspective right here. This is where we see. This is what we look. And it's a perspective just like Naomi had. She's like, don't you understand? I just lost my husband. Pastor, don't you understand? This is tough for me. And can I say this? I'm in your plane too, and that's tough. It's a tough thing. Can't you see? You know, Pastor, that this thing that happened to me, you know, this is not the first thing that's happened in the last couple weeks. This is tough. It's piling up on me. I don't know how I can do it. And you know what? I look at the same plane and I understand. That's tough. We all go through that. You see, everybody in this room understands, at least with any age on them, understands that you know, this is where God has placed us, right? Hasn't God placed us right here? He has. And this is human. This is human nature to look at it right here. And certainly Naomi is right there. She's looking at the human plane. She's looking at what she could see on her earthly plane. I've given this illustration before. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Turn there quickly. Colossians 3:1. All right, so we all know the things on our earthly planes. Get to Colossians 3:1 and then let me continue the illustration. So we have about a 3-foot plane, and I understand we have the ability to see higher. We can see up in trees, we can see the sky, and we can see down, you know, to the ground right here. We really can't see lower unless we dig a hole. We can see down in there. But even if you were to take, you know, a couple feet down and go up, you know, to the top of a tree, even a big tall tree, really in light of the universe, how big is that? About that big, right? It's nothing. And there's our plane. But as humans, that's life, right? Let's admit it. That's life. That's where we see. And so we're here, and we're like Naomi. Let's put ourselves in the same category, because that's where we're there. We see the physical problems, we see the spiritual struggles, we see the needs that are there, and it doesn't seem like they're coming. And so we start to worry, we start to fear, we start to be anxious about it. We ask the question, "Where is God? God, don't you love me? Have you dealt with me bitterly? God, you have done this," and this is the human earthly plane, and this is normal for us right here. That's normal. But you see, when Jesus Christ came to this earth and lived for 33 years, and he died on the cross for your sin, he did more than just give you a free pass into heaven. He gave you a perspective that you now have the ability to enter. And what does he say to us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1? He says, "If ye then be risen with Christ..." Isn't that a glorious phrase? What's it looking back to? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Folks, I want to tell you something. When we worship the Lord at Easter time, when we celebrate his resurrection, there's a whole lot more than just we serve a risen Savior. There's a lot more than just he had victory over the grave and death. I want to tell you, it means something. It's first fruits. Do you know what first fruits meant to the people back in Israel? It meant that first crop that came up, it meant what to them? There's more to come. Brothers and sisters, you realize that with Jesus' resurrection, he's telling us in first fruits that there's more to come. And you know what? It doesn't just deal with Jesus and the Father. It deals with you. If you're saved here tonight, if ye then be risen with Christ, if ye then be risen with Christ, you know what he's about to say? There's a perspective there that goes far beyond the deepest pit and goes beyond the sight that we could ever see. It's a perspective where God is. It's God's perspective. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. It's above what you can see on this earth. It's above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You see, my friend, it's a plane that God sees. You know what? We don't have, when we get saved, we don't have the ability to see everything. He's not put us there. But he's wanting us to understand there is another plane that you can know is there. It's God's plane. It's God's perspective. And I've used the illustration before about flying. And many of you have flown before. Many of you maybe haven't flown before. If you haven't, it depends on who you talk to. They could argue you're missing something or not. I enjoy flying. I like it. I don't particularly like the takeoffs and the landings, but I enjoy when I'm flying. But sometimes you're there. I like days that are not so cloudy, and I can look at the land, and you can see what's, you know, because you can see the cities, you can see the farmers' fields as you get out towards the Midwest and the West, and you can see the mountains, and you can see the rivers and the lakes, and it's a beautiful thing. But a lot of times when you fly, you pierce through the clouds. And you get up there and you cannot necessarily see below. But I want to tell you something. I like this illustration because a lot of times we see what we see right here. There have been times when I have taken off in the plane and it's been a cloudy, miserable, rainy mess, okay? If I want to put it that way. And you can't see anything. You can't really see up. And it's just raining and it seems like there's no sun. You say, the sun is gone today. Well, we know. What do we know about the sun? Is it ever gone? No, it's just we can't see it sometimes because there's a lot of clouds in the way. And there's rain, and there's storms. But an amazing thing happens, and it happens, and it can happen every time. You just got to get to the right elevation. You take off, and you lose track of all the things that are down here, and you go into a cloudy haze, and you can't see anything, and you're traveling through this cloudy haze for a little while. But then the nose of that plane breaks the tip of those clouds. And as you get above the clouds, what's there? There is sunshine. There's sun. There's blue skies. And up there, the clouds, they're just a blanket down below. You can't see the problems of the earth. You can't see the rain. And you know what? It's still raining and it's still thundering and it's still light. It's all the miserable mess is still down there. But there's a perspective. There's a perspective above the clouds. It's absolutely amazing. Now that illustration is just a simple, pure physical illustration. But brothers and sisters, when you understand that God has everything good and He's working everything good to them who love God and who are called according to your purpose. If you understand that, you know that there's a sky above, there's a blue sky, and there's a sun that's always shining. That's God's perspective. And Paul tells us in the book of Colossians here, seek those things which are above. I know you can't always see it, but know that God is doing good in your life. With every circumstance. You know, if Ruth could have pierced through those clouds, or if Naomi could have pierced through the clouds, she would have rejoiced. But she couldn't see it. But we get the instruction in the New Testament, seek those things which are above. Get a godly perspective. Understand, even though you don't see it, because we don't see it here, that I know that God is doing something good and He's doing something right. He's bringing me to Himself. That's the plane which we are to seek. And by the way, if you're saved, you have the opportunity to go above the clouds. You can. A person that's not saved is not going to see that perspective. They're not going to see it. They can't. But you can. Trust the Lord. Know Him. Know His ways. We sang a song of Fanny Crosby. There's a number of Fanny Crosby songs that lead me on in the way, or whatever songs it is. All the way my Savior leads me. I'll tell you what, Fanny Crosby was blind. But Fanny Crosby had a perspective that many of us do not have. And she could not see. She could not see this perspective, but somehow she could see that one. That's an amazing thing. Brothers and sisters, you have eyes. We need to see God's perspective. God's got a better way, and He's doing right. And you know what? I still don't understand humanly James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. But I think that we can get joy when we have the godly perspective. That's how you can count it joy. Because you know that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Lastly, before we're dismissed here, I want you to see this, the right perspective. You say, that sounds the same thing. Go back to verse 12. Go back to verse 12 in Ruth 1. Just see what she says here. She says, turn again. This is Naomi. Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. Catch the word here. If I should say I have, what's the word? Hope. She says, if I should say I have hope. What is she saying there? She doesn't have hope. She said, if I should say I have hope and go on, if I should have a husband also tonight and also bear my sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? And what's the answer to that? I mean, she knows that that's not going to happen. You know what Naomi is saying here? I have no hope. Did she have hope? She did, but she was blind to it. She couldn't see it. She thinks she has no hope. The psalmist says in Psalm 42 and verse 11, and he's discouraged and he's down. He's going through what you're going through. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? And what was the answer? Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. I love that verse. Hope thou in God. I don't care what you're going through. And well, I do care what you're going through. What I'm saying is, no matter what you're going through, no matter how much you feel hopeless, you have hope. Naomi didn't feel like she had hope. But I'll tell you what, hope was closer than a brother to her. We've got to change our perspective. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him. The psalmist says, I shall yet praise Him, for who is the health of my countenance and my God. Paul says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? If God saved you, he's going to sanctify you and he's going to bring you to him. He's not dropped you. You're not hopeless like Naomi thought she was. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Was Jesus risen from the dead? Did he indeed rise? I'm going to ask it again. Did Jesus rise from the dead? And brothers and sisters, do you know what that tells you? You have hope. If Jesus rose from the dead, then you have hope no matter what you go through. That's the confidence that you have. If you believe Jesus rose from the dead, and he did, whether you believe it or not, then you have hope. Humanly, it's easy to get very discouraged. But Jesus saved you to give you hope. Hope. Hope thou in God. Father, thank you so much for the hope that you give us. Lord, may we be encouraged to go on. Go on recognizing what you have done in our lives. God, thank you. Lord, and may we understand what Paul said in Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God, would you help us to go out of this place victorious tonight, having hope. Not as Naomi felt like she didn't, but Lord, we knowing that we do because of Jesus Christ, we have that hope. God, help us. Lord, help us. Lead us, and we're thankful for your leading in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.